Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On, the upcoming video game lineup, and the Terminator series. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey, everybody!
Hello, my geeklings! Welcome back!
We are back.
And we're on schedule.
Another episode 102.
102.
I know we used to never mention our numbers, but ever since we hit 100, it seemed impossible.
I can't believe we did 100 episodes already. I mean,
yeah.
At an hour and a half each, that is a lot of bullshit.
Oh, come on. We are all freaking blowhards. Come on, how hard is it for us to fill up that much time?
I guess, but.
I know.
How was everybody's geek week?
Well, it was very good, but I think we should introduce ourselves first since we've got a Switch Hitter Geek in today.
True. Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I am a video game professional and a writer here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Hi, my name is Matt. Oh, I'm not Matt. I'm Lisa. Hi. I'm an editor in Los Angeles, and I'm a giant geek. And here
hi.
Is...
My name is Pete Robinson, and I'm a screenwriter and a director here in Los Angeles.
Yay! Welcome back, Woo. Lisa. It's been so long.
I know. It's been way too long. It's been way too long. I've been wanting to do your last two shows. I was like,
what the
great.
Hell?
I know.
We've been getting all sorts of hate mail on the forums. Where is she?
I want to get your sister on one time, but she just
we
won't.
We gotta get Caroline. You know what? If we do a show on, like, horror games, she'll come.
Oh, because, so there.
Well, we yeah. need to do a horror one next episode.
Yeah, it's,
really?
It's Halloween time.
Yeah.
Halloween
time. Oh my god, that'd be perfect. Okay, that would okay. be the one topic that
maybe
she
next
won't
week.
Be able to stay away from.
It'll be a special treat.
Next week. Let's
we'll,
do one.
We'll have her over and then we'll play some horror board games afterwards.
Ooh. Ooh.
Actually, yeah. I am Arkham. On my way to play Arkham Horror right after this.
No way.
I am part of an Arkham League.
Okay, explain what an Arkham League is, because usually a league means that you're playing against people, or you score, or how does this work?
Well, you score. I mean, the Arkham game is something you can score afterwards. For those of you who are not in the know, Arkham Horror is a cooperative board game where all the players play together against the board game, mm-hmm. trying to defeat an ancient god as it tries to invade our world. Okay.
Fantasy Flight game.
Fantasy Flight game. So Fantasy Flight is actually putting scenarios online.
Okay.
Where you have to set up the scenario, like these cards are in the game, these cards are not. This is the old one you're fighting.
Oh, so you don't randomize that then.
No. And then there are special rules for each of the different scenarios, right? And so then you get together with your group, you play it, you name your group. And then you post your scores online, compare it to everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, my group, Miskatonic Sci-Fi Club, is so middle of the pack. Like, I think people are cheating.
Well, yeah, all you can just type in whatever
score.
Number you want.
I think people
you
are cheating.
Take a picture of the video game screen that used to.
But I'm playing with this guy Jeff, who's he's another board game. BoardGameGeek.com fanatic.
Is he the one who makes the little platforms put underneath cards so you can...
Yes.
Yes.
He's the one that's so into games that Aaron went, ooh, you're into board games.
Wow. Everyone makes fun of the fact that when I buy a new board game, I put all the pieces into Ziploc bags so that, A, you don't lose them, and also it's easier to start the game next time because you just dump out the different piles. I get made fun of this. He builds little wooden platforms that you put underneath each stack of cards so you can easily pick up. So there's a little gap that you can
smart.
Easily pick up.
Because you're always like scraping the table.
Yeah, well, he's
That's
solved
nice.
That with... And that was... He outdid me on the geek.
I remember Aaron's long, cold stare as he realized this guy had come up with an idea that
Can
Aaron
I just tell you,
had.
That's the one thing about being a geek. Just when you think that it's impossible to out-geek something, there's always something deeper. There is something geekier somewhere, somehow.
I prefer not to think geekier. I prefer to think different flavor of geek.
No, he's geekier.
No. Yeah. I was going to say.
But we're all impressed with what he's figured
That's
out.
Exactly. So none of us are actually disparaging him. Yeah. It's like, damn, that's a great idea.
No, we want him to actually come up with something new now.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the nerdiest thing I ever did? This is uber nerdy. You know, in PC games, they would sometimes include a card that had all the key commands?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would laminate those.
Well, you have to.
Really? I love you.
There are people everywhere that are like desperately wanting to get your email address right now.
I can't remember if my roommate did TIE Fighter versus X-Wing have one of those,
or I'm sure
did he make that? I can't remember if he made one or not. But you know how crazy that keyboard construction.
Yeah, I still have my X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
You do? Will it run on anything?
You know what? It's interesting you ask that, because I just busted out the original Fallout and I'm running it on my giant Alienware PC, and I was like, this is never going to work, and it worked perfectly.
Really?
Yeah.
But that kills me, because, like, I've been trying so hard to play Alpha Centauri again recently.
Oh, yeah?
Can't get it to run on my PC.
You know what?
Yeah, I don't think TIE Fighter is going to run.
Let's talk, because I have an old PC that will run it perfectly.
Really?
I can give it to you.
Wow. TIE Fighter versus X-Wing, they need to dig that shit back out, because I would love to play a new version of that. I'd love to play a console version, even. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I kept
less...
it, because there's nothing like it still.
No. I know.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Come on, LucasArts.
You know what I kind of miss? I'm old. I'm very old. You have to take this in consideration. There were a couple PC games back in the day that didn't just give you the little card, right? They had, like, a sheath, like a little layover that you could unfold and put on top of your keyboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It made, like, a little...
Go through the thing to play?
No, it kind of sat on the edges of your keyboard.
Oh, I see.
And it named all... It's kind of like those Avid things that you... Yeah.
I used to love that. I thought that was so cool. It never fit on my keyboard, though. Never fit on my
keyboard. So has anyone played Forced Unleashed?
I played the demo.
I played the demo. I thought it was pretty average,
Totally average. And I might add, anybody out there who has played any of the Legacy of Kain series, particularly the last one, Defiance, it is so a ripoff of that game. I can't believe it.
I was thinking that when I was watching it.
It's exactly the same.
Well,
the
but
combat
it's
identical.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it's a hack and slash.
Even in Defiance, you had force powers. Like, you could knock people off buildings.
But those force powers in the demo were janked. I couldn't grab what I wanted to. There's always a box that
There's
I was
no
grabbing.
Targeting
no
system
targeting.
At anyway. All. You can't. You know how some games you can cycle through targets? It's just random. Like, you have to kind of be pointed the right direction.
It was broken.
And then aiming it at somebody was even harder.
Yeah, it was broken. But
I, totally
I did. My friend Jakeely, who was working on Clone Wars, he got a discount and sent me that, and then he also sent me some of the Lego series, so I've got a stack of things I need to play.
I think the Lego series are good.
I'm thinking about putting Force Unleashed on easy and just burn through it, because I hear the story's awesome.
Well, then good. Then you can tell us all the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just save the time and energy.
I mean,
if
they have the same story quality as Coder, then we're good.
I'll tell it. I'll you guys can sit around me and I'll tell it like C-3PO to the Ewoks.
Can we have sit around your campfire?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. Nice. And can you do sound effects?
Can you do it with a flashlight under your chin?
Just like C-3PO.
Yeah. Did you guys watch Clone Wars?
Well, I was actually going to do a mini review for my news story.
Oh, okay.
I have them on my TiVo.
You haven't seen them yet?
No.
I didn't know I had Cartoon Network in HD.
Oh, just brag, why don't you? I have Time Warner Cable. We have
Would you like to see an episode? I've got them. I actually haven't seen the last one.
I have Time Warner Cable. I have HD.
Well,
really?
I don't have an HD TV, though. Yeah, I think so.
Really?
It's in the hundreds.
I don't know if it's HD. They've only in the 400s do they have any HDs, and there's like 10.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Would you like to do your review now, or do you want to wait?
No. You have to do it now, because I'm actually dying to find out what you're going to say, because I heard sort of mediocre things about it.
You heard about the movie.
Oh, it was the movie, so it's different for the TV.
No, it's the same.
It's the same, but they fucked up, I think, with the movie. This is what happened. This is what they did with the movie.
Yeah.
They decided to do a TV series, and they started building a TV series. And that's what we're now watching. Somebody decided this is a lot of work. This is pretty amazing. We should take three of the episodes and edit them together and release them in the theaters as like a pilot in a way. Well, it doesn't have a story arc like an hour and a half movie.
It's three episodes.
Yeah,
three
so
episodes.
It doesn't. It's all janked up. It's like there's no like build. There's no climax or anything like that. So. It was, even though it looked great and everything, it just wasn't, it was three episodes tied together.
Well, what I heard was even as by episode, it was kind of lame is what I heard.
Well, here's my basic take on it. One, the look is good.
That's what I did hear that.
It's good.
Is it the same as the original cartoon Clone Wars when they were like in 5 minute?
No, it is not. Oh. It is not. It is
I like that.
Half hour story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
It basically follows Anakin and his Padawan, who's this like 14-year-old girl, Ahsoka, I think her
Ahsoka,
name is.
Ahsoka, yeah.
I dislike that character.
I like her.
She just seems like, we need a kid because this is a kid's show, so put a kid in.
Yeah,
so
I
she
mean,
just
she
seems, she seems glued on and out of place. I definitely think the look of the show is nice, but it just doesn't quite kick it up to the next level.
Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like that on television.
Reboot?
Looks better than that.
Transformers? Of course.
Transformers looks better than
Transformers Beast Wars is what I'm saying. This is not new. This sort of CGI animated cartoon.
I've never seen it. I've never seen anything that looks like
you've never seen Reboot?
I've seen Reboot, but it looked like freaking old school.
It was old school. It was about 10-15 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I'm saying this thing looks freaking good.
He's saying that there's a 10-15 year difference in it. It looks 10-15 years better.
Yeah.
There's a French sci-fi. Have you seen that? Another animated half-hour series. It's called like Sky something. Do you know the one?
No, I don't.
Really good too.
I haven't seen that one.
But I mean, what I'm saying is that it looks very good. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that it's bad looking, mm-hmm. but it also doesn't really have that spark of life, that sort of spark of beauty or something truly unique that makes it exciting to me. Mm-hmm. It just looks good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my biggest problem, mm-hmm. is that some of the episodes, some of the stories that they're presenting sound almost palatable to an adult audience, right? Like, it's almost there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're really being clear that this is a kid's show, and they mm-hmm. keep reminding you of it.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you're sort of, as a grown-up, me, every time I'm watching it, just as I'm almost into the show, just as I'm almost into the world,
mm-hmm.
they do something really stupid to diffuse the situation and assure the children that everything's okay.
So like a Jar Jar Binks moment.
Yeah. So for example, this is not a major plot point. There's a ship flying around that basically has a big EMP gun on the end.
It's the pre-technology of the Death Star.
Ah.
It's that big.
Yeah. So it powers up, it fires off this massive bolt that depowers any ship it hits, right? So the big Death Star type ship fires on a rebellion cruiser, it powers it down, and then we're all sitting ducks. We don't know what we're gonna do. And so it shows the evil Death Star ship moving in close with its guns, firing all over the place and missing. Like almost every shot missing it. And then it cuts inside of the ship, and one of the little robot dudes piloting the Death Star type thing is going, "Wow, this is a lot more fun when they don't fire back." And then the other one next to him goes, "Yeah, strange how I still can't hit anything though."
But then they end up destroying the entire ship and killing everybody on board.
Not that time. That time everybody is sort of they imply they get away. But I agree. Now, this is the other flip side to this. Just when you sort of accept, okay, this is a kid's show, I kind of have to go, okay, well, I'll dumb down my thinking, right? This is not Looney Tunes kid's show. This is a kid's show. Then all of a sudden they show dead bodies. All of a sudden they show people in escape pods getting blown out of the sky, you know, and they're all clones, so I'm wondering if it's okay to kill a clone.
I love what they're doing with the clones.
I agree.
The clones have always been automaton, random, just you can kill as many of these guys as possible. In this show, all the clones have, even though they have the same face, the same model, they all have distinguished tattoos and different hairstyles, and they all have personalities and names. In fact, there's a great scene in the first episode where Yoda is with four of these clone warriors. And at first you just think they're just random clone warriors and, you know, whatever. And they are being attacked by a whole squad of bad guys. And they get trapped in a cave and they're all beat up. And it's only Yoda and these, you know, three guys are left. And the three clones said, you know, we're never going to make it out of here. We're so overwhelmed. And one of them says, it's okay, we're clones, we're expendable. And Yoda says, no, you're not expendable. I know each and every one of your names. And he says, and he names them. He says, you're you're impulsive and you always go into battle, but I know that you're loyal. Your name is blah, blah. And though you have a, and it was a great moment of Yoda saying, I know every one of you as clones and you're not expendable. And you're
and on the same side as that. And the episode from last night, the most recent one, they kill a couple named clones who had lines and personalities from earlier in the episode.
Got to know.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't in depth because it's a half hour show and the dialogue is dumbed down for kids. So it's that weird balance of it's clearly for children and they're offing people. You know, so it's a little.
I think
unclear.
There's some writing problems for sure.
Yeah,
my biggest problem with the writing is that each episode seems more like a big extended scene.
Yeah.
And not a nice rounded story.
Though I have to admit, when they showed Yoda going to war in the first episode, I liked Yoda at war. They did a nice job.
Ray takes out the whole.
Yeah, he just takes out an entire battalion by himself. You know.
I love the art style. I think it's cool. I love the way I love how Yoda looks. I love all that stuff. I think it looks. I mean, they're doing 13 hours of Star Wars a year.
Mm-hmm.
Pixar does an hour and a half every 2 years. I mean, it doesn't look like Pixar. I'll tell you that. But there, it's also 13 hours. It's crazy what they're showing on screen, I think. But anywho.
We just have to hope that the writing gets better, I guess.
Well, and the thing I'm really concerned about now is the live-action show is still coming, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
And now everything since episode one has come out has been so geared towards children. I'm scared the live-action one is going to be too. And I don't want Star Wars Power Rangers.
Well, I did hear the rumor was that Lucas really likes Battlestar. And he likes the darkness of Battlestar. And in fact, Ron Moore has been up at the ranch a lot.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Knock on wood.
That's just the rumor.
Knock on wood.
That's just a rumor.
So since that was sort of our transition to news, shall we?
Sure.
Where's that music? Love that music. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Rocking out. Rocking to the music. Oh, yeah.
This is like news / let's talk about the upcoming stuff because I don't have news. I want to talk about what Lisa was going to talk about.
All I brought was a list of all the stuff coming out. So.
All right. Who wants to start?
I'll start. So, Blizzard has just announced that StarCraft II's single-player campaign is going to be split into three separate products.
Lisa has the same article.
No,
that's
the only thing.
Okay. Well,
three products.
Yeah. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking each of the races and they're going to release their individual campaign separately. So
lame.
A lot of people have said...
That's Activision's influence on them, I bet.
Yeah.
You guys remember from playing it, each campaign is sort of self-contained, and you can see how it could work. But then,
all of them are like that.
Yeah. Then you realize, StarCraft was a bargain.
Yeah.
But every real-time strategy has a full campaign of each side.
Yeah.
It's what you expect.
Yeah.
It's not a feature.
It isn't. That's lame.
That is lame. And I mean, I wonder how
the only way that's acceptable to me is if the three different campaigns are actually lengthened. Like, if they're extremely long.
Extremely detailed, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they're like 30-hour games each, then, okay.
Then I'm golden.
But I think they said 26 to 30 missions. In the original one, I think they were like 10. So maybe that
right.
is...
But even then, one of the fun things about the original game was jumping from character to character, from race to race to race throughout
right.
the course of it.
And now you're forced.
Oh, that's true.
And now you're just going to be in one race the entire time. And the same repetitive tactics. So,
yeah, I'd love to do 10-hour campaigns and learn the new powers every 10 hours. That would be
so
more fun than 30 hours of humans.
When you start over,
well, unless
every time, it's really fun.
Unless they diversify humans. It is possible to keep the human race and really diversify gameplay.
That's true.
In some way.
If they keep adding things. Like, remember in the original campaign, like all of a sudden you would get you'd get the Yamamoto ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's still the races play different. It's not like a new vehicle. It is different.
And in fact, you have to change your whole brain.
Yeah. And that's what's, fun about that.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, are they going to mesh together? I mean, can I play my race against your race if they're different races, or is it going to be we both have to play human? You know?
No, I'm sure.
Well,
the online
game. They actually were very clear about this. No matter which one of these you buy, you can still play the online, and you can still play whichever race you want when you play online.
You just won't know how to use them.
Yeah, you want to blend them.
Well, I guess. Well, so just so we know the release date, or not release date, the release order, they're going to do Wings of Liberty, which is the Terrans, Heart of the Swarm, which is Zerg, and Legacy of the Void, Protoss.
I like the Protoss.
I like the Zerg.
You would.
what was interesting, though, was that they basically, humans were mechanical, Zerg were biological, and Protoss were energy.
Yeah.
It was really...
It was a perfect
I am
balance.
A little surprised they haven't added a fourth.
Me too.
Yeah, I am kind of
I'm surprised.
Like
to me...
Like maybe go psionic or
the
something.
The graphics look really... it's a dramatic upgrade, but it looks like the same game to me.
And I tend to doubt it will be. From Blizzard, I expect good things.
Okay.
Admittedly, I mean, they're the Four Seasons of video games, but they were just bought out by McDonald's. So, I mean, there's going to be some alterations to quality.
Even though they were bought out by Activision, they're big enough where they're telling Activision what to do, I think, on some of this stuff.
Well, I don't think Activision bought them out. I think there was an actual merger.
Merger, right.
And so that's what I'm hoping. But Activision, I hate to say it, but Activision they're the marketer.
I know that you expect good things from Blizzard, but what was the last thing you saw from them?
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, that's why their games are good, because they take forever to make them.
Well, and keep in mind, they did have something that they were going to release, which was
Ghost.
And they pulled it because it just wasn't good enough. And that's a good sign. That's a really good sign.
That is a good sign.
That does make me respect them on a gamer level, maybe not a business one.
If you guys don't mind, just because I've got my other two stories are all sort of in the same realm. Do you mind if I just do them?
Keep on keeping on.
Okay. So they've released they've released three of the character classes for Diablo. For Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah.
This is another one.
The Wizard.
That looks exactly the same to me.
You say that like it's a bad thing. You know, when they announced StarCraft 2, I dug up my StarCraft and started playing it again.
I wanted it to be the same type of game. I just wanted to go, wow, look at all the cool new things. Not, oh, the graphics is better.
Wow, the Wizard's a woman now.
Well, actually, Wizard, Witch Doctor, and Barbarian. But actually, it's not that they're male or women. Or female. You can... You can play either sex for each of the character classes.
Oh, that's good.
Which is kind of neat.
I kind of resented.
But wait a minute. We're talking about stuff that's like 20 years old.
No, and you're right.
Everyone keeps saying, and now you can do this four or five classes. I'm like, really? Because that's a 20-year-old feature.
No, I do have to say, actually, I'm a little unimpressed by the character classes, because the Witch Doctor looks very much like the Necromancer or.
Yeah. I mean, and the Barbarian?
The Barbarian is actually the same Barbarian, same class.
I don't know. I
mean, the Wizard
is... The fact that there's classes, that's not a new technology.
No. But people are just interested in what the classes are, And the Wizard is the Sorceress. They're very similar.
So are these the only three, or are there going to be
There are going to be two more coming. So we're waiting to see what they are.
Probably, there should be 15.
Probably an Archer, because, I mean, they had the Amazon in the last one.
Should be 15, and there should be a build your own character. These days, I'm sorry, that's like gauntlet technology.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I'm just
for
saying,
some of us, we find that
game.
Appealing. For some of us, we find that appealing.
And being limited to something that's only four classes.
Sometimes
actually,
they give you too many, and then they end up being all varieties of the same thing. Right. Like almost.
Like I remember Ultima way back when, right? Like you could build a party of four adventurers, and then they gave you 21 character types you could make, which meant I couldn't cover all the bases. So I always felt like I was leaving something out, no matter what character types I made. Either I covered all the bases and everybody sucked at everything, or I covered four bases really well and just wasn't able to open chests the rest of the game,
It's always a tough choice, but that's great when they have fewer. There's more variety, I think. Like the original Fallout, which I just booted up, has three character classes, and it's kind of like a woman thief character who's acrobatic, a like strong tough guy, they always have one of those. And then a charismatic good talker.
Really?
So
but I thought Oblivion.
Class,
I thought Oblivion was better. I loved Oblivion, where I could either just choose a class and just take it, or
but
I could
class
handcraft
made
it.
A huge difference in your game.
It really
did. I know people who picked the wrong one, and they had.
That's a separate issue, but. Yeah. But I thought it was fun to have, like, ooh, look at all these crazy choices.
I just picked up Oblivion again this week. I have now officially completed every major storyline in the game. I just have to go back and finish up some of the minor quests.
Did you do Shivering Isles?
I am debating whether I'm going to download it because that'll just eat my life for a week. I know it.
Yeah. But it's worth
it. Like it's also a little disturbing in a fun way, though.
Well, because you said it's
crazy.
Sort of horror. You said it's sort of horror?
It's sort of, yeah. I mean,
I like that.
Great.
Yeah, it's a world. Basically, you go to the land of insanity where everybody there is crazy in some way.
Sounds great to me.
The thing I sort of regret, though, is like my character is the sneaky archer type.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I can kill anything. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm like the warrior from hell. But I never got to see the awesome magic. I never got to really swing a hammer.
Well, you can develop the awesome magic.
Yeah, go through the mages.
I can't. I've completed it. I just don't have enough magicka to actually cast the better spells.
Oh.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, my intellect is literally 100, and yeah. I still don't have enough mana.
Yeah,
I just
that's
can't
why
it
makes
it.
A big difference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
Last one is that Warcraft 4 has been confirmed.
What? So.
Warcraft 4.
Warcraft 4. Oh.
Yeah, not World of Warcraft. Yeah. Warcraft 4. But apparently they're going to... It sounds like they're going to release it like they did with the StarCraft, where they're going to... Each different race is going to have a different...
There's only
campaign.
Two in that, right? Orcs and allies and humans and allies.
Yeah.
I thought there were... Elves or something.
Elves are allies of the humans, aren't they? I could be
no,
entirely
no, no, no.
wrong.
Look, I'm not sure because... I'm not sure. I think they were undead.
No, you sound right.
It was
no,
orcs,
I think you're right.
Allies and undead. Orcs,
oh, yeah,
orcs,
yeah,
humans,
right.
and undead.
I haven't played it. I haven't played it in so
anyway,
many years.
When they released that they were going to be releasing things as standalone games, by the way, people were booing the decision at the con.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they're preaching to the choir there, so
yeah.
they're
yeah.
booing.
And
wow.
a lot of people have said things like, "Okay, great. Now I have to spend $150." To buy
yeah,
one game.
Of course that's going to
yeah.
be the
lame.
Reaction.
You know,
lame.
To this day, you know, Matt did the voice of Illidan in Warcraft 3, right? And now, when he went in to do that, they told him, you know, well, we're just going to have you, like, spit out some funny lines to say idly or when people click on you repeatedly. So I have no idea, but I wrote a bunch of lines for him when he went in. I have no idea to this day if they use those lines because I never played it. But that game, the little multiple clicking... Mm-hmm. voiceovers you get, stop poking me.
Yeah.
That's some of the best funny like side stuff I've ever seen in video games.
Yeah,
love that.
Those are good.
To this day, the quote from the Dryad is one of my favorite video game quotes. You will fall like leaves in fall. I loved that.
My favorite one was Matt's, I'm blind, not deaf. You know, it's like when you kept on telling him to do the same thing over and over again, he's like, I'm blind, not deaf. Yeah.
That's funny. You done with your video game news?
That's it. That's all my Blizzard news.
Ms. Lisa.
All right. Well, so I have a list in this. I don't know what we're going to do with our lives because I'm telling you.
Holy schmack.
This is like insane.
So this is a video game list.
This is a video game list. And I just did October. And the first couple weeks of November.
All right, so let's go down.
Well, that's the Christmas release schedule for the most part. So, I mean, these are supposed to be the best of the best.
Yeah. But
I'm
saying is, how are we going to live? Because...
So what's the first? What's the first on the list?
All right. Well,
is this release dates? Or
Release dates. The first thing, things that have already come out, you know, are like Forced Unleashed, Silent Hill, Homecoming, which my sister's playing. And maybe we'll talk about
it. I hear it's not great.
She's really loving it.
She loves,
I've heard good things about it, actually.
Yeah,
but all of my stuff was anecdotal.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
She says the story is really good, and it feels really Silent Hill, the story.
Oh, that's
like
good.
It's a war veteran coming home, and everything is just fucked up. Like,
that's good.
All his, but it's psychological. It's like his relationships with everybody have changed.
That sounds cool.
Question?
Yeah. That sounds good.
Is this game tied into the others, or can you just pick it up if you haven't played the others?
You can just pick it up.
Okay.
And my sister has yet to find any connections. She's playing Origins. Like, she has got the canon down.
The Room?
Yeah. She says the Room is not canon, by the way. So you guys can skip that one.
I love those. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Silent Hills, but I've only played the first two, and they scared me so much. I was like...
You and me both, man. I'm telling you, Silent Hill 2, I still have nightmares.
If they ever make a sequel to the movie, you and I and Carolyn, we're
going
to go and we're just going to pee ourselves in the corner.
We were there opening night, Silent Hill, the movie.
I still haven't seen it because everyone told me what crap it was.
Oh,
not us.
We totally enjoyed it.
We liked it.
Yeah. We're suckers.
I think you're the only ones.
I thought it was the first video game adaptation to movie where I felt they caught the tone of the game.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like they had the siren sound effects. I was so happy. Yeah. Oh, and so other games that have come out already, although I guess it's news to Aaron that Wipeout HD has come out.
I was still waiting for it. I'm downloading it right now. It's literally
like,
downloading right now.
I couldn't wait for that to
so,
come out.
So, yeah, Wipeout HD.
So
is it as good as XL?
Yes. It's kind of like a best of. It seems like kind of a best of. And there's some new modes, new game modes.
Really?
So
yes.
What is Wipeout HD?
Wipeout, it's, from what I understand, it's, and I could be wrong about this, but it's like a collection, like a best of, you know, picking through all the previous Wipeouts, the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this is a racing game, then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You've
for those of us
Wipeout?
Who don't know.
No, oh, this is a long-standing series. Yeah. Wipeout. I have all the Wipeouts. Wipeout 1, I guess.
You could just throw them all away and just play XL.
Actually, I still play the first one.
XL, though, is awesome.
Yeah, they're all good. They're all good. I have the soundtracks to Wipeout.
You know, XL soundtrack was on, like, the number one electronica album for like a year.
Wow. It's a great album.
It is a great album.
It's great. In fact, I want to import those onto my PS3 so I can play them with my Wipeout HD. But anyway, so if you haven't played Wipeout, it is, in my opinion, the best racing game. And it's I don't play racing games because it's anti-gravity.
It's one of those racing games that the only way to win sometimes is to go into like a zen state, not blink, and not even know you're playing, and then wake up and you somehow won.
And that is true of everybody who's played. My sister says the exact same thing. I mean, she has tears running down her face because she cannot blink and she's in a complete zen state.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Like, doesn't that make you want to play it?
It sounds like Geometry Wars.
You know? Yeah, I hear you about that.
You know,
because you're either in the zone or you're not in the
zone. Yeah, yeah. You just have to be in a different place while you're doing it to do a good job. You're just like, holy shit, I can't believe all this stuff's happening. And the moment you go, oh my God, I'm...
I should have hit the bomb. I
try to distract myself. Like, I'll listen to a podcast while I'm playing Geometry Wars because I do so much better when I'm just like not paying attention. It's the weirdest thing. But so Wipeout, you will not believe how beautiful it is in HD. You'll be so grateful. Like, you'll be. I was saying this is why I got.
I'm hopefully when we're done with this, it will be done downloading because.
You got to boot that up. Oh, the other really fun thing about Wipeout is having people over who have never played it before because they just can't play it. And they bang into the walls. Like,
it's hard.
There's a learning curve at the beginning. Before you get to the Zen Master, Jedi Master state, you bang into a lot of walls. And it's so people
use
watch
the
you
force,
play.
Carolyn.
And you,
they don't know how and you can
play it. If you haven't played it, you shoot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a racing game where you shoot.
Okay,
and I know
on.
That's the only way
on.
You like
that's
racing.
That's the only
and
way I'll
play. You're aggressive. You're like taking out other cars.
Can you do like oil slicks and...
You can do mines. You leave mines.
That works for me.
Yeah.
All right. As long as I can blow crap.
There's do they have the wave where you shoot and the whole track goes?
Quake
like a big
is back.
Wave?
Quake is back.
Okay. Oh man.
It's the only way I'll play racer.
So you know
way.
What's so funny in this version? They have a training wheels version for people who have never played because I guess they realize there is a learning curve and they actually have a mode. I forget what it's called where they steer you away from the edges, which is
lame.
But, you know, you understand why.
A training wheels version.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this game is hard because not only do you turn, but there's kind of a right and left air brake that kind of pops your back out a little bit. So you have to kind of air brake and turn in order to maneuver. I mean, it's hard. All right, what's next on the list?
All right, so that's what's out already. Okay, so what just came out last week, which I'm sure nobody here is excited about, is Fracture.
It just seemed too average.
Totally average.
What is it?
It's LucasArts' new game where it's a first-person shooter, and their shtick of the game is that there's a full geo-modding technology where you can like shoot the ground, and it's like Populous. All of a sudden, the ground will change.
Oh, this is the one where like one side has the ability to like raise and lower terrain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other side is,
But it just didn't sound very.
It's pretty much a shooter, like an average shooter with a cool mechanic. And the one review I saw said there's like a mode where you can just play. And when you do that, you realize if somebody had had an ounce of creativity, it could have been a great game. But they just didn't maximize on the potential.
I played the demo for just a second at Comic-Con, and it was fun, you know. And
It's like an average first-person shooter.
No, I mean, it was fun, and the mechanics of the game, the in-game play felt fun. But, you know, it was really weird. I actually saw it at Blockbuster the other day, and I was looking for something to rent, and I was like, no, I just don't really feel like renting it.
You rented Bad Company instead?
I did rent Bad Company, not instead.
I think Bad Company is a game that was under...
Bad Company is a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Should I get it?
Well, I think we're going to be done with it by the time you...
Have I missed the online thing?
Well, if you fight it, maybe. I haven't played it yet.
The online is fun as hell. It is fun as hell, but we might be done with it because there's a gazillion games. Yeah, keep going. Fracture,
All right, Fracture Land. And it's so funny that you say average because apparently the name of the main character is Jet Brody, and he couldn't be more like an amalgam of gears and all those characters. So it sounds just average across
the
board.
How can you name someone Jet Brody?
I know, that's what I said. I mean, really? Are you joking with that?
Yeah, like, that's so stupid.
You know, we're
going
to get an enraged email from our listener, Jet Brody.
Yeah, exactly.
Enraged.
Sorry, Jet.
It sounds like a parody of a name.
Yeah, it does. It's except no
Jet
irony.
Brody.
Just lame.
Wasn't he in Point Break Live?
Jet Brody. So.
And that's for PlayStation and Xbox, but I think.
If I ever make a first-person shooter, I'm going to name the lead character Rock Steel.
What was the name of the character in LucasArts game about the motorcycle guy? Full Throttle.
Oh.
Does anyone remember? He had to have had a name like that.
I want to name a character Rock, Paper, Scissors. No, I don't know.
All right, what's next on the list?
All right. Next, already out or... Yeah, already out. Brothers in Arms. I think you played those games, right?
I love the Brothers in Arms series, but it got an average review, so I'm going to rent it.
Okay. Well, let us know how it is.
Because Call of Duty, I'm sorry, looks freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It does. All right. So, starting next week, we have Saints Row 2. Who cares? And Dead Space. I'm excited.
I'm going to wait for the review of Dead Space because it looks like it could be really fun, or it looks like it could be another average shooter to me. I don't know yet.
I don't even
care.
I'm
on board.
I know.
I'm on board.
Me too. Just the setting is so
great. The thing that concerns me, though, is like a lot of this new gen game stuff, I don't have a high def TV yet, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of these new gen games, if you don't have a high def TV, you're kind of screwed. Like, things get a little fuzzy. You can't read half the text on the screen.
Yeah.
Honestly, Soul Calibur 4. Like, how unimportant is text in that? Completely illegible. Doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah, I can't read most people's names when they come up on my screen. It seems
like there'd be an easy fix. It would just know if you had an HD or standard def and then adjust text size. I don't get it.
Yeah, I have the same problem with Ghost Recon. Couldn't read.
Well, Ghost Recon's fucked in that aspect.
Well, and to this day, like, I have Dead Rising. Right?
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine did video capture for it. He did voices on half the characters. I can't play it because the text is literally totally illegible. You can't read a single thing on that game.
That was actually in the reviews thing, that if you have a standard def, you can't play it.
Well, I'm holding on to it in the hopes eventually I'll get a high def. But
why would you not be able to play it? Because you can't. You have to be able to read to choose things?
Because it'll tell you what your objective is in text.
Oh.
And then you don't know what your objective is. And then you run around in a zombie-filled mall and get eaten because you don't know where you're supposed to go.
And the whole fun is the objectives, right?
Yeah. You can't achieve anything. So,
but do you think Dead Space might just be a GameFly type of thing, or are you going to buy it?
I'm going to
buy it. You
buy
everything.
Just because they had me at
horror.
The setting. And
it's
zombies, horror and sci-fi, my two favorite things. Okay. How am I not going to get it? And, you know, you're a group exploring a ship that has lost communication.
At the very least, you want to support your favorite genre so they'll make more of them.
Yeah, good point.
That's why I watch Heroes. I don't like the show, but I'm hoping they'll make better ones, you know?
I'm still stuck on the Dead Rising text thing. I mean, you know, it seems to me like if you're going to go to all the trouble to make a game, and you've got to design people that are 3D creatures running around in a 3D environment and all these things. And the one thing that you fuck up is the 2D
font
text
size.
Thing that says there.
So you cannot play the game.
I mean, it's like...
And not only that, but this was this is close to a launch game.
Yeah,
so they know that most people didn't have high definition.
This was a high-profile game. This was one of those games they were pitching to sell the Xbox 360.
I was really excited. I am excited about the game. I've been trying to get the game to play forever. I just haven't had a chance to.
I heard it's great.
If you ever want it, I'll loan it to you. I mean,
it's like State of Emergency, which I got bored with in 15 minutes.
Although, I don't have an HD TV either, so
you won't be able to read it.
Yeah. Just plus, I have a little tiny TV, too, so.
Yeah. And it looks adorable.
But maybe I can go online and find out what the objectives are online.
Oh, come on. How complicated is that? You know, you don't want to do that. You know, but the thing is, in my understanding, is that during the development process, all of the programmers and developers were using high def. And when it made it over to QA, it never occurred to them that everyone in QA had high def TVs they were testing
on. That makes perfect sense then.
So it That's just it never got tested on a non-high def.
But
it slipped through the cracks.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, anybody...
Things like that happen.
No, it happens. I mean, well, obviously, you know, things like that happen.
Well, because there's a mentality for a lot of the supplier. Like, let me be upfront, okay? Nobody knows QA better than QA people. People who work in quality assurance of video game stuff. And those quality game testers, those quality assurance testers, are the lowest paid people in the video game industry. And if they make a suggestion, they're usually mocked by people higher up. So when they make a suggestion like, our equipment's too good. We need an older. We need a. This is too high quality.
But that's
I guarantee you, they got ignored by the people up above. Stupid minimum wage.
But that's
people.
Like a producer thing. Like if I'm going to make a video game, I would say, all right, I want to make sure this looks good on standard def before I re-release because So that's not a game tester thing.
That's a producer
thing.
I agree with you, but I think what happened was the producer, it didn't occur to them.
Yeah,
I just don't think it ever occurred to anyone. And I betcha it occurred to someone in QA. And at which point the producer's just like, no, we've been working on this for 2 years. Go, 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 go. You know?
It was too late.
It was too late. Just put it on the shelves.
All right, what's next on the list? We're in like number two on 100 here.
Okay, so the following week is the huge week because it's Fable 2, Little Big Planet, Far Cry 2, Wii Music.
In 1 week?
In 1 week, and for me personally, Castlevania.
Wii
the
Music?
New Castlevania.
Come on.
I've never played a Castlevania before. Is it on 360?
You can download Symphony of the Night and the Xbox
Live
Arcade.
That's the 2D side scroller, right?
Yes. That's
they're
the
all like that.
I didn't love it.
That
didn't
is
love
what
it.
Castlevania is. It's a 2D side scroller.
I'm done.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, they're still
with the
making
80s.
Them from for the DS and these brand spanking new 2D side-scrollers that are the most fun ever. Because you have to learn... You always get a million different kinds of weapons, and you have to figure out how to combine them or how to best use them. And that's...
Let's talk about a real upgraded side-scroller, Little Big Planet. That is
the game of the future. Yeah.
That's a new game. So let's talk about that. That's coming out in 2 weeks.
Yes. The
PlayStation
19th,
3
the week
only.
Of the 19th.
That looks good. I haven't bought a PlayStation game. I've had the PlayStation for like three months. I have not bought a PlayStation game.
You're only playing arcade. PS4 games.
All the games I want are on Xbox 360 or both, and then all my friends are on the 360. So why would I? You know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've only bought a couple.
The online
and I'm waiting
experience,
for these,
and
really.
By the way, those of you who still think that the PlayStation online experience is catching up to the Xbox, you do not own an Xbox. It is not. It has not caught up to the fucking Xbox. It's not even close.
So you played games online?
I don't have a headset.
Oh,
They don't give you a freaking headset, so no, I haven't played online. But buying something is also a lame experience on the PlayStation Network. It's like going to a website.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, but at least things queue up and download in the background. Like, I like that. It's not hard.
Yeah, but that's 360. It's been doing forever.
Yeah, and 360, you flip over and all the menus right there. You don't have to sign in and go through this.
Call me nationalistic, but I'm really glad to see an American product beating the crap out of a Japanese for once.
Me too. And this is going to be the game that influences their game makers. Yeah. You know, it's so original. It's huge. Yeah. And I'm the same. It's so interesting. I was like, I can't believe this came from America. It's so quirky and
Little
original.
Big Planet is American? Yeah, it feels like it's a Japanese game.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because it's so innovative. It's just...
So are you going to build? Are you ready to build or are you just going to play?
I'm so ready to build.
All right, we'll change up. I already have a theme. I hope you can link levels. I want it so when you get to the end of the level and go through a door, it will say, okay, load up this new level. So you can make a camp...
I think that would be silly if they didn't. Like, that just seems like a no-brainer to me.
It does, but I don't know if they're going to have that.
I mean, the thing that I could imagine would be complicated, but I think would be essential, would be for you to link your level to Lisa's. You know?
Well, I can download Lisa's level and edit it So if I wanted to,
and
I could download
put stickers on my walls and things.
Yeah,
it's just
I'm
going to
graffiti
insane.
Your. I'm going to put like, naughty pictures on your
my level again.
All right, and then Fable 2.
Fable 2. I'm excited for my sister played through all of
Fable
1.
One was
it.
A bit of a disappointment.
Though. Oh, really? I thought so too.
Yeah.
But well, here's the thing:
I felt the combat was really unimpressive. I thought the story was really overhyped.
Yeah,
you know, like, ooh, you can fall in love and get wives, and who cares? Like,
but not only that, but that really wasn't part of the story.
Yeah, it didn't affect anything.
My sister, that was like her whole goal in the game was to have a husband in every port, and she played a guy.
Yeah, but again,
so, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but again, that wasn't part of the story. It was like a little, it was like a something you were screwing around,
you know,
with the game.
Fable 2, actually, I thought it was a fun game. I thought it was
Fable 1 or 2?
Fable 1, sorry. Fable 1. I just thought it was overhyped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was hugely.
And I think that that's what was the real issue, was that people were so excited about the idea that your character could change so much through the course of the game.
Part of the problem, too, was Peter Molyneux, the designer of the game.
Yeah.
He's kind of an overhyper.
Yeah, he goes out, and what he does is he discusses all of the original ideas of the game. Right. Yeah. And says them as though they're going to be in the final product. Every video game developer knows you come up with your
30%
wish list
of it
and then you cut back in order to get the game released, you know.
Well, but I mean, it seems like that happens somewhat in Spore too. So I mean, you know.
Well,
it's normal, but usually the creators aren't.
I had almost given
up there hyping the exact points that are getting cut.
I had almost given up on Fable 2. Because I learned that they had cut the co-op.
Already they had to cut something.
Well,
but it's going to come
not
later,
cut.
Right?
It's a downloadable content that will come later.
Well, it was originally it was supposed to be in the game.
Yeah.
And remember, there are a lot of people aren't hooked up to the internet. So that's cut to a lot of people.
Right.
Of course, if you're not
downloaded,
then
you can't
good
play
point.
Cooperatively.
Good point. But I also hear that now it's going to be an update on launch day.
Oh,
so
that's
they actually
better.
Got their shit together, and so that's
somebody put in some hours, some overtime.
Someone put some overtime.
Yeah. So a couple of things that were interesting about the Fable game that I saw are, first of all, the combat system. It looks like it's a very simple combat system, but what's fun about it is that the timing is very important. So your character gets more experience depending on the timing they use when they attack. So.
There's also like rhythm-based attacks in a way.
Yeah, that's where I was headed next.
Really?
But that when you're fighting, like, say, a big battle with a bunch of people, the more that you do the right type of combat, music will start coming in, and the music will start building kind of like in this crescendo, telling you that you're doing all the right stuff. So if you're like killing everybody and kicking everybody's ass, suddenly there's this heroic music starts coming in, and the drums start, and then other stuff starts coming in. And then the other thing they said is that if you die in this game, if you get, you know, killed, you don't really die per se, but what happens is you start getting wounded. And the more wounds that you get, basically the more scars you get. And people in town will start reacting in horror if you get too scarred. They're just like, ah!
They kind of did that in the first game.
Well, they did do that in the first game, but I don't remember people reacting to you based on your scars. That was the thing. So there wasn't an incentive not to get scarred.
Yeah.
The big problem with the first game was that you'd play the first game, and you always wound up being this guy that was just like this shriveled, wrecked human being.
Yeah, like every time you get in combat.
I was the golden boy in that one. Like,
really?
Everyone loved me whenever I showed up in a town.
Time you like fucked up in combat, it was like you got a scar no matter what. It was like, oh my God.
I'm
like,
I never really... I found combat so easy in the first one, I almost never died. I mean, never.
Wait, in the first one, I don't think you died to get scarred. I thought you got
just,
scarred
just
got getting
scarred.
Damaged.
Yeah.
You think you just
in
got,
this
yeah.
one, you get
I
scarred by getting dead.
Damaged.
Oh,
well, they also have the dog thing, the companion, which I think is a great idea if it works right. I get attached to fake virtual pets on, like, close your ears, Lisa.
What? Oh, is this a spoiler?
This is a spoiler alert for anyone who's played Shadow of the Colossus. Did you guys?
No.
Did you play?
It's okay. Go for it.
Well, you have a horse who ends up kind of dying at the end, and I was so attached to the horse, I was, like, pretty upset. All right, I'm done.
Phew.
Anyway, but the animals that show up in video games when they, like, even Oblivion, I had a horse, which are the most generic creatures in any video game that you ride around to get to the place.
Oh,
like a
you
car.
Get attached to your
I
horse.
Had the same horse
my
through horse 80 hours, and I was like, that's my horse. Frickin' cougar came out of nowhere and attacked my horse and killed it.
Yeah, my horse.
So I was going to go back to a save point, but the save point was so far back, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, ah, screw it. I was actually attached to the stupid horse.
I actually lost my horse. It just disappeared.
You have to watch
it.
Yeah, you have to watch. But if you teleport to a new town, it will be at the stable. Because it assumes that you found the horse and it's at the stable outside.
It stopped teleporting. I don't know what happened. Maybe it wandered off and got eaten.
It got eaten.
Yeah, it probably got eaten.
Well, in Oblivion, I also had a problem. I was the archer, right? And the archer trainer who teaches you the master level stuff vanished.
Oh, no.
She showed up once. She taught me once. And then she, got eaten by a cougar or something. You know, she just never showed up again.
Yeah, that's a problem. All right, so Fable 2.
The other thing about the pet thing, did any of you guys play Black and White?
Yeah.
Remember how amazing that you would you punish your animal?
I actually got frustrated by it because I couldn't train him. I just didn't get a hang of it, and he never did what I wanted him to do. And
me either.
I ended up just tying him to a rock and flying around. You know?
That's what I did. But it was very realistic. I mean,
yes, I was
very
impressed
lifelike.
By it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping the dog is. I think it's a good idea to have a little companion.
I totally agree. Everybody's going to be so obsessed with their dog.
Anything else on the list?
Oh, we got more. All right, so that's just that week. Then the following week, while you're still all playing Little Big Planet and Fable 2, Fallout 3 drops.
Oh, Fallout 3 is going to be
Fallout 3. I've seen the trailers, which is just sort of a cinematic. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any gameplay yet.
Me
either. I've seen lots of gameplay.
Is it going the route of Oblivion?
It's totally Oblivion.
It's Oblivion.
It is Oblivion in a different setting. I know.
Now there's because it's in the future, there's a lot of first person shooter looking stuff, but you can hit a button which freezes time and target in kind of turn based mode.
Okay.
And it rolls the dice kind of like a traditional role playing. So you can change up the game. If you want to play it like a first person shooter where you're running around and shooting, kind of like Oblivion does that.
Yeah.
You can do that, or you can click a mode, target like the guy's arm. It rolls your stats to see if you hit or not, which is more kind of traditional role playing.
Yeah, well, if I remember correctly, it's not just that. It's that you have a certain amount of points that you can spend for special attacks that you do in that mode. So basically, you're running around and you're playing it like a normal shooter, and then you've got these sort of points that you build up over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you've got like a really tough combat, you could save them for this one person, and then you can do like called shots for like the head the arm or whatever, you know. So
it looks pretty freaking cool to me.
Sounds awesome.
It is going to suck our entire lives away.
When does that drop?
That is the 28th
of November.
This month.
And I have
October.
I have already pre-ordered, I suggest.
I think I might. I actually might pre-order this. Where do you pre-order?
I did Amazon. Got like a couple different versions you can get depending on how much you want to spend.
I'll just do the GameStop near me.
Tote bag? You get a tote bag or something?
You get a Pip-Boy 2000 something. Okay. I don't even know.
All right, what's next on the list?
All right, next. Oh, and then also that same week, although no one will be playing because they'll be playing Fallout 3 Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yeah. I have my Rock Band.
I know. I don't know.
And I have a lot of songs.
I just don't care.
Me either. What happened to Guitar Hero? It used to be our,
favorite
Rock Band passed
passed it, and they already got me invested in the song, so I can't.
I'm sure it'll be a good game. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, but we've already got our fix.
But my understanding, is that Guitar Hero, they're now adding the extra instruments in, right?
Yeah.
And Rock Band offered them the chance to be able to use their instruments for free, right?
I think they are on at least the Xbox. They're supposed to be cross-compatible.
Okay.
I don't know about the PlayStation. I think they still have problems.
Because I remember hearing at one point that they said, we'll make them cross-compatible, and that Rock Band was like, no, we don't want to do that.
Well, they did that. That's what they did for the last one. The guitars on the PlayStation would not work.
Ah.
And Activision blocked it. Activision blocked it.
Yeah.
But not on the 360.
Well, apparently, Microsoft has something about controllers needing to be semi
compatible across
or standardized.
Yeah, standardized or something like that.
That sounds like a Microsoft thing,
and they don't
want.
Yeah. That's a smart.
I'm still using
policy.
My Guitar Hero guitar on for my Rock Band.
Yeah.
All right. So then, this is crazy. The next week after that, after Fallout 3 has just arrived at your doorstep, we get Resistance 2 and Gears of War 2. I can't believe those two are coming out the same week.
Well, two different systems.
Yes.
Entirely.
But remember when those first came out, they were competing products. Like, everybody compared Resistance to Gears of War, even though they came out.
Well, you know. I'm really excited for Gears of War 2, and I'm willing to look at Resistance 2. But Resistance 1 seemed like a just an average shooter to me.
What
so.
Was
Did you play the demo on your PS3 yet?
No.
Download it. It might change your mind. Resistance is actually pretty good.
Resistance is a first-person shooter on PlayStation 3 that kind of looks a little bit like Gears of War, but it's aliens that come down, invade Earth, and it's got a World War kind of feel to it in a way.
Was this the one that
London,
you showed
I think?
At one point that was kind of like all kind of grayscale?
It's very gray,
black and white. And I mean, it wasn't black and white, but it had that feel to it.
Yeah.
Kinda. Not a lot of color to it.
Yeah,
and you said it had like a Nazi type of thing going on with it.
Yeah, this has kind of a that could be Killzone as well.
That's probably Killzone,
but
you should try it because I was surprised at the enemy AI, like things that you don't think that will make a difference. Like the enemies are really interesting and
all right, I'll see. And they have what 60 person online?
Yeah, it's gonna be insane.
Eight person co op.
All right, maybe we both have to get it.
Right. But Gears of War 2, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Gears of War 2 just looked like, I mean, I the trailer I saw of it at least made it look just like it was the first one, almost exactly. Like, if you didn't know it was this footage from the second one.
Yeah, it looks a lot like.
That it would be the exact same game.
Yeah.
Is there anything new?
It's just more creatures, more kind of craziness, and they probably just made everything look better.
And can we do four-person co-op?
Probably not. I think two.
All right. Well, I'm on board.
Yeah.
That same week, also, Tom Clancy's End War.
I don't know about that either.
It could be cool. World War III is always cool.
But it's that voice-activated real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. And then the week after that, we get Mirror's Edge, which I'm very excited
about. I'm excited about that.
Call of Duty World at War.
I'm extremely excited about that. Four-person co-op through Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Freaking looks awesome.
I know. I'm in. I mean, and that's the next week. Do you understand how our lives are going to be gone? Okay. And then that same week, Mortal Kombat versus DC.
I'm lame. I am buying that.
And
I have advanced insider information on that it's actually good.
The gameplay is actually smooth.
And I know one of the guys who worked on VO recording for that, he says the script and the VO talent were some of the top that he's ever seen for that genre of game.
What's the concept?
Great.
It's Mortal Kombat with superheroes in
DC.
It.
Versus like Superman.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a deep plot. It's not a story thing.
It's a fighting game.
So we got to believe that Wolverine's going to be able to fight with Superman?
DC.
DC, yeah.
So it's
like Superman against Scorpion. Katana against Catwoman.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
It's just a dumb matchup.
I think that like Joker is going to be in
it. I still think that Superman would kick everybody's asses.
Well, they've got a...
it's under a red sun.
They have a plot line.
Oh. Yeah, there's a plot.
I don't know if that's true or not.
They have a reason. Apparently, they explain away why you can beat up Superman in it. Yeah. That's what they say.
He's a kryptonite necklace.
Yeah, like everybody else has.
Or everybody's magic.
And that same week as Mirror's Edge, Call of Duty, Mortal Kombat versus DC, WoW, Lich King.
Oh, Lich King.
I'm done with WoW. I'm not going back.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
I have to say wow to that.
No, I mean, I'm like, do I really want to play more of that again?
You know?
You are so over it.
I really am. I just don't have any appeal to it anymore.
I thought that thing never let go of people. I wouldn't know.
My friend's son just finally started playing it and is getting really addicted to it. So I was babysitting for him the other day, just, you know, give him a chance to get out of the house. And so the kids go to sleep and I go, okay, now I'm going to go and play World of Warcraft. I haven't played it in forever. And you know what? I had Aaron's original reaction to it. I was like, this is just boring. I had fun for a couple months and then it was done. It's button mashing. It's like, you know, I mean, there's no real high-level skill to what you're doing. You run over, you hit a button, and then you wait for it to recharge, and you hit it again. And you hit them all in the same order every single time you attack. You
know? Well, that breaks up as you go up in levels. Like, right now, you're bored because you've done that before.
Yeah.
But as your character goes up and you get new abilities, you're not hitting the same order anymore, and you don't just have two or three buttons you're re-hitting. It's 8 or 9, and there's a strategy to it. Like, what's he doing? Oh, crap, I have to do this defensive thing. Now I have to do this offensive thing.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I had fun. But I
would love to have more, like, the Oblivion-style targeting system, you know, something that gives it a little more
complexity.
I still
believe WoW is the best designed MMORPG that I have ever
seen. Yes, it is. It is. I'm ready for the next level.
I did try out Conan the new Conan game for like a night.
Have you tried Warhammer online? It's been getting great reviews and it's selling like hotcakes.
I actually want to, but my rig can't handle it. Oh, okay. So I'd have to play it at work, which would just be inappropriate.
So. I want to try that
and
Warhammer.
And your point is?
Warhammer?
I've never played any MMORPG, but I've played the Warhammer.
Why don't we play WoW?
RTSs, which I really enjoyed.
You never tried WoW?
No, I never did.
Jump on WoW. I still have it. We can play it for a month.
Try it. It's free to start.
It is actually fun, and it gives you a common connection to 12 million people who've played
man.
It.
Oh, man. It would be the end of me. Did you see the list?
Are we done with the list? Because we need to move on.
The list. I'll just tell you the week
after. We still have a topic out there.
I'll just throw it out there. There's Left 4 Dead, Animal Crossing, Sundry Folk.
Left 4 Dead. Okay.
So I didn't even hear what you said when you...
Well, that's probably for the... It was Animal Crossing.
Oh. I know a lot of people who love Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing is the bomb. But okay. Go ahead.
I think Left 4 Dead has a chance of being good.
So tell us about Left 4 Dead. What is that?
It's a zombie first-person shooter co-op game. Excuse me. Co-op game where you and four of your people go through the, levels trying to escape each... You're trying to escape each level. You have to go through an entrance to try to get to an exit. But anybody can jump into your game as a zombie and try to fuck your game up.
That sounds great.
And you can just bum rush them, and there's different types of zombies, ones that vomit on people and infect them, ones that are slow and explode, and they have all these different types of zombies. Yeah, I think it looks fun. And
they actually have something like that on... they've released a mod for Half-Life 2 that's a zombie mod. And basically, it's the same thing. Your characters, they said what's interesting about it is this. Typically, when you're playing a zombie game, the concept is you have your guns and you want to load up on as much ammunition as you can, and then you want to just kill as many zombies as you can. They say in this game, it's really interesting because the more ammo you have, the slower you run. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great
idea. So you tend to not want to keep as much ammo, and it becomes more interesting or more important to find like defensible locations where you can push a couch into the stairwell so that they can't all come up at you at once.
That's what uses the physics of that Half-Life world. That's
exactly.
Cool.
And when you die, you become a zombie.
Right.
Now zombies move at sort of half rate, half pace, but they have rush. Mm-hmm. They can when they get close, they can rush for a short period of time. So they said it's really interesting, the mechanics.
One thing I would like, just one minor variation I'd like to see in one of these games someday, is the ability to go from playing one zombie to playing a mob. I'd like to be able to, have sort of like the lead zombie and have your other zombies following behind
That's
you.
This game, I think. I think there's a zombie that has other guys who come with you.
Well,
Left 4 Dead, I mean.
Yeah.
There's a big horde, and you playing like the master zombies, and I think you direct where they go.
I'm not really thinking directing where they go so much as thinking like as I move, just as I go playing my zombie, all those zombies have a cloud behind me of zombies. Yeah. And if they take out my lead zombie, the brain just shifts to a different position.
I see.
I just think
cool
that would be
idea,
fun.
Playing a horde.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that'd be great. Because let's face it, one zombie coming at you, not that scary. When you open that door and the room is full of them, terror.
So that's
it for our list. And we are so far into our episode, I think we're going to have to call that for news.
Yes.
And move on to the meat of our episode.
Our topic. All right. Our topic this week is the Terminator franchise / series / extended universe. Cricket.
I think
one of the reasons why we're bringing this up is obviously there's a series going on right now, at least
Sarah Connor Chronicles, and there will be no spoilers for Sarah Connor Chronicles because I'm the only one who's watched them.
I've watched them.
Oh, I thought you hated them.
I watched the whole first season. I have not watched this season.
I've watched.
I thought you didn't like it.
I don't like it, but I've tried to keep up with it just to. I thought maybe it was might be going in a decent direction, and
well, still no spoilers.
You guys should keep watching.
We're gonna have spoilers.
I like it.
I think we have to have a conversation at least for a little bit because
there's gonna be some spoilers. I want to talk about like themes of it.
Oh, I'm talking about for this season of The Terminator. I don't think we really need
to. Well, let me ask you guys, because you guys have kept up with this season. How is this season compared to last season? Is it better or the same?
I think it's at least the same. They've decided to make a choice about what the show is about. I don't know if I like the choice, but at least I think that they've made a choice.
I think it's a little slower paced than the first season. Mm-hmm. I think the first season had a little more consistent action. Mm-hmm. But I think this season has taken more time to sort of develop ideas.
Yeah.
And I think we're heading towards some serious action.
Oh, you know? Cool.
I heard they got rid of the voiceover.
Yeah, voiceover's gone.
Oh, that's good.
Voiceover's gone.
That's good.
Ugh. Thank God.
You know? We all have masks.
Apparently, no one in this town can write voiceover stuff because Heroes was just atrocious.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
but
God.
Heroes is like set God, the bar so low.
I want to beat someone for writing that.
All right, actually, you know, what's weird is the only show that does good voiceover stuff is Desperate Housewives.
No, I disagree. Pushing Daisies has fantastic VO.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But it wouldn't work in any other show other than Pushing Daisies.
Dexter, yeah. I think, does great
VO.
Dexter's great, too.
Yeah, good examples.
Yeah.
Okay, so... All right, so
Terminator. All right, so let's talk about...
why does it work? Okay, here's the basic premise for Terminator, if you've been living under a rock for the past 20 years, or 30 years now. In the future, robots take over the world and they're hunting down humans one by one. But the humans are managing to turn it around and they're about to reclaim the world under the leadership of John Connor. So the robots send back an assassin robot that looks human because it's covered with human flesh and skin back to the 1980s to assassinate Sarah Connor, John Connor's mother, before she can give birth.
Right.
And the series begins there.
Right. Well, okay.
Well, and the humans send one of their own people back to stop him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know, I think, first of all, to be honest, this was never a franchise movie to begin with. This was a B movie.
It was a B movie action one shot.
Exactly.
Self-contained.
But let's say, I mean, this you know, what was supposed to be a B movie hit upon a theme that has been resonant in our society for, you know, the last 100 years.
The first movie theme.
Okay. Yeah.
And what do you think the theme is?
Well, theme is that the question of science and the dangers of science.
Yeah.
Will science destroy us? And we've seen this from The Island of Dr. Moreau. Mm-hmm. We've seen this 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Metropolis. You know, yeah. It goes back to the origins of science fiction, you know?
But I think the major theme in that is which maybe you don't learn until the end is we are not destined for destruction, that we have the ability to change our future. Our path is not set, as she says. And then they carry that into the second movie as a major theme. Mm-hmm. But the end, the first movie, I believe is our future is not set. In other words, we're not destined to fail. This doesn't have to be the way it is.
Well, if you really kind of hyperanalyze it, even the basic premise is a bright one. Mm-hmm. You know, we destroy ourselves. Science wrecks our world. But ultimately, science is coming back to kick our ass because we're winning, right? That is the reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it – well, what's interesting about it is that it's up in the air.
Yes.
I mean, because the very fact that they've sent someone back in time makes the question of whether or not this is going to happen or not happen in the future up in the air. Because once you start to fuck with time, what is going to happen is no longer set.
Well, we'll talk about time travel, I think, later, but let's stick with the theme thing. I think it's interesting, though, in the first movie that she wins. Like, we win, we didn't stop any of this war that's going to happen.
No.
The only thing that at the end that stops, that we win, is that John Connor will survive and eventually overthrow the robots. All of the horrible destruction and all that stuff is still going to happen at the end of that movie, which is a weird ending because the ending is great. She drives off in this very somber, kind of low-key sad moment.
It's one of my favorite sci-fi endings, you know?
Yeah, like, she is going to live through a war.
Yeah, yeah, is coming.
It is coming.
She's the only one who knows.
Is that the one where this says a storm is coming? Is that the end of that one? I mean, what a weird way to end, like, hey, we won, and a whole bunch of crap is about ready to, you know, happen.
And she's been so changed. Like, one of the great things also about it is she's just an every woman. Like, she's just a normal woman who ends up being, you know, this heroic figure who births the next
being. In a lot of ways, I think she may be one of the very few actual every women ever put in a sci-fi movie like this. You know,
well,
most
Sigourney
of the others,
Weaver. I thought Sigourney Weaver in the first Alien was a pretty good every woman. She just played the, you're like a trucker.
Yeah, okay, that's valid. That's valid.
Yeah.
But she's still a sci-fi future woman. She is, you know, what is she, a captain in that?
No.
She's just a petty, she's like a petty officer.
She's still a tough woman. She's still a very tough woman. This woman is what, a secretary?
Yeah.
You know, I forget what she is.
She's a waitress.
Yeah, she's
a waitress, right?
And I never get tired of the story of, like, the chosen one just coming out of nowhere, being a regular person, gets called to action in this huge story that, you know, she has no idea about, gets caught up in it, and prevails. Like, that to me tells you something about humanity prevailing against the science and the technology, because it's just these regular people.
And the interesting twist, and this the twist you can only do with a female character, is that she is not the chosen one, right? Like her son is. It's like the Virgin Mary learning to kick ass, you know? Which, wow, that'd be fun. But anyway,
now
it's a great concept.
It's funny that you bring this up. And this is a theme of partly of the second movie. My wife, we were talking about this last night. My wife says, you know, I published a paper in college that was actually published about the Terminator series.
No way.
And I was like, really? You should be on the show.
Yeah.
But her theme was creation versus destruction, female versus male.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, they actually bring that up in the second movie. She actually, Sarah Connor actually starts rambling and ranting when they meet with the scientist. She says, if you men only could carry a child and knew what creation was, we wouldn't be in this, you know, mess. And he's like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I think that's an interesting distinction. And Maureen, my wife's paper is partly about the fact that all the Terminator characters are represented by males.
Yeah, in the movies.
And,
in the movies.
You know, and remember, they're robots. They have no gender.
Right.
But they've decided in the first two, of course, when she wrote the paper, there wasn't a third one. In the first two, that all the killing machines were male, and then the female was the kind of creator of the savior, John Connor.
That's interesting.
And what's interesting is now in the TV show, there is finally a female robot, but it is again a savior.
Wasn't the third one also a female?
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if we accept the third one as canon. But basically, what I wanted to get at, though, the thing for me that's interesting about her not being the chosen one, her being giving birth to the chosen one, this is the first time where we have using her as the chosen one for this language, we have a chosen one who has the choice of what she is going to be. Her destiny is not set. All her destiny is to give birth to this kid and to set him on a certain road. So she could be whatever she wants to. The character she is in the second movie is something she chose for herself.
I know, which is great. Like, because she knows the fight that's coming. Exactly what they set up at the end of the first movie. And she has to change. Like,
and this is the brilliance of the filmmaking and James Cameron, is that her journey between the first movie and the second movie is awesome.
Yeah.
Which, this is something that, like, if you're a creative, you know, well-thought, smart, you know, filmmaker, you think things through. When we get introduced to Sarah Connor the second time,
oh my god,
she is a living character. She transformed. She was the same bullshit. It wasn't the same
Which
character.
It's great when
it
you remember
awesome.
She started as a waitress, and now she is a commando.
If you've ever watched the first and second back to back, it's amazing watching her reintroduced.
It's smart. It's smart filmmaking. That's how art should be. It should be thoughtful. And someone thought of things before. She started out, she was kicking ass. She knows the reality of what her life is going to be, and now she's making changes. And she's also the type of character who we now understand how John Connor becomes a hero because she is a hero.
Yeah. And she train like she learns, she becomes a mercenary, and you feel like she's training him or
exactly.
She's
that's sort of my problem watching. Like, if you take the TV show as part of the canon, right? It actually allows us to discount the third movie.
I don't think we should. In fact, I can't wait to get to it. But
but for this part of the conversation, mm-hmm. let me do that because what they basically did was Sarah Connor is removed in the third movie. She is not a factor,
right?
And they incorporate that into the TV series, which I thought was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the character in the TV series. It's got sort of the Sarah Connor has sort of the hard ass edge, but. The actress is so not able to do the physical transformation that Linda Hamilton did.
Mm-hmm.
She is way too girly. I just don't buy her as an action heroine.
She's almost like way she was maybe in between the first movie and the second movie.
Yeah, that's like, my take, too.
Like, if that time period was between those two movies, it would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The second movie, now, I think the theme of our future is not set has been continued.
Very much
and
so.
In fact, it starts out, I think, the movie says the future is not set. And the whole point of that movie is now she's decided that she doesn't want to just survive the war and bring up a hero. She doesn't want that life for her son anymore. She's going to change.
Let me do a brief synopsis on the second movie mm-hmm. real quick now that we're talking about that. In the second movie, we've gone 20 years into the future, both literally and in the movie. Sarah Connor has now become a badass sort of...
Well, no, it's only like
16 years.
The kid's like 13.
Okay, well, 13. No, it's like 15 or 16.
I thought he was 15 or 16.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, we've gone 15 years into the future. Oh, thank you for the correction, Aaron.
That keeps us on track.
I had the same reaction. I think that's important that this is still a kid, not an adult. Because if you say 20 years, he's, you know...
But I think the time difference was like... 20 years, if I remember right. I could be wrong.
It can't be because she got pregnant.
No, the real world time difference.
Oh! You filmmaker 20 years later?
I think it was. I don't know. Anyway.
Right, keep going.
Thank you for the corrections.
I can't let him get through.
Long story short, we're 15 years later. The kid has grown up to a teenager. Sarah Connor has been put into a mental institution because she accidentally shared with the wrong people what the future is going to be like. She has done nothing but work her body to near physical perfection, perfected every skill in survival you can possibly imagine, and tried her best to pass that on to her son. When the future sends back the T-2000, a new Terminator that is made of liquid metal and can shapeshift, to assassinate the now 15-year-old John Connor. And John Connor from the future also sends back a different Terminator model to protect his child self.
Mm-hmm.
The twist is it's the same model
that tried to kill his mother.
Which was genius.
Now, here's the interesting thing. This is a kind of a hold off from the second movie or first movie. Is don't you find it interesting that the robots send an assassin back in time to kill the mother, but the reason why, the humans send back a savior to protect them, and that's the genesis of John Connor. So if the robots had never sent back an assassin, then John Connor would have never been born.
Right.
It's like they started their own problem by doing that. I guess they didn't do enough investigation,
which I think is a staple of most time travel style movies. You know, the attempt to change the past gives birth to the future that exists.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know? Right.
It's not always the case.
But now, this is interesting because in a way that's going against what the whole series at this point is about, which is the future is not set.
Right.
That's the hope. When we watch the movie, especially the second movie, we're like, oh my God, if she can just do this, then she's going to save us. We have to be convinced an audience in order for the movie to work, in a way. You know, she's going to blow up the corporation that invents Skynet. And if that happens, she's saved all of humanity.
Isn't that great how she switches into the position of the aggressor then? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's something they play with on the series, too. Like, they're not just being defensive. They are actively,
She decides to change the future herself and attack the, you know, the genesis of... She turns the tables.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's why I think the third movie, even though it's not a good movie, is very interesting to the series.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
because essentially what the third movie is saying is the future is set. No, no. Matter what, it's no. going to happen.
The third movie, what's brilliant about the third movie is it's saying that the future is not set.
What do you mean? The war starts.
No, but yes, it does start. But what's great about it is this, that what it does is they kill off all of his allies he's supposed to have. He yeah. still survives. But the people that are supposed to be on his team that help him succeed in the future are no longer there. So it sets up that what's about to happen is that the future that Skynet has succeeded, that we didn't destroy it, that John Connor may still be alive, but it's
but don't
no-
you think the ending was so kind of like, you know, the ending was like they thought they had won again. In the end of the movie, they said, we shut down Skynet. Mm-hmm. Then the end of the third movie, they pretty much at first they're like, we got to do it. If we do this, we're going to shut down Skynet and save human race. Mm-hmm. The war will not happen.
Yeah.
And at the end of the third movie, no matter what they do,
the war happens.
The war happens.
Which is great.
The future is set in a way.
But at the same time, it's not, because no longer are we assured of his success, which we were before. We knew he was going to succeed because they tried to come back and change time, and the robots tried to come back and change time and failed. The robots have succeeded in coming back and changing time. Mm-hmm. They may not have killed John Connor, but he's just – and that's the whole premise of the next trilogy of movies, which
is great. Yeah, but don't you feel – how do we know that – I mean, did you – at the end of the third movie, I got the impression that John Connor is now on track of being exactly how he was supposed to be.
Yeah, but at the same time, they say that, you know, these were all the people that were critical to your success, and the Terminator had a list of them and killed off.
By the way, one of them was me.
One of them that got killed was you?
No, he never killed me. She never killed me, so I technically should be in the next
movie. I thought all of us were on the list.
Well, no.
You met me and Matt.
No, I put a whole bunch of you guys on a kill list. You guys were all cops.
Ah.
Man. Sorry.
Bastard. Dude,
so you have a pivotal role in the next trilogy.
Yeah. I'm one of the – if anybody watches the third movie, there is a list of the leaders of the future – there that she has to get rid of. She kills, I think, one or two of them, but she never gets to my character. Like, my high school photo's up there, and it says my name, and she never gets to me.
Man, I never knew.
So who is Christian Bale playing in Salvation? Is it
me?
Aaron?
It's me. My character. So, you know.
Can I tell you, I love that. I was actually watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right? I think it was like the second to last season or the last season. And they're watching a movie on television and the credits start rolling. And at the top it says, directed by Lisa Lasic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
Correct me up.
My name,
you have a directing credit?
My full name. Oh, no, no, no. No, it was credits on a TV screen in the show.
Oh, I
see. The show within the show.
Oh, I didn't.
And I just found out my full name is going to be on an episode of Privileged. Because they just wrote my name. They needed a name. Like, something happened to this person.
And Jenny went, how about Lisa Lasic?
That's awesome.
I had to sign a release.
Yay!
It's so crazy.
It's funny, these drags. All right, so I thought I liked the end of the third movie. I thought that was a real surprising ending.
I don't remember the end of that movie.
The concept of that movie was not a bad concept.
No, I was just so angry at the movie.
The mistake with the movie was that instead of – what happened was some producer came in and said, okay, so we need a new Terminator and we need to have a female Terminator. And instead of going out and getting someone like – that would look like a Linda
Michelle
Hamilton.
Rodriguez.
What they should have done is they should have taken Linda Hamilton and had her play the Terminator, and they've like
messed with their minds.
Well, yeah, they've created a Terminator that looks like your mother, and now it's your mother or someone that's like a real good actor. And instead,
I don't think the movie's problem was the was
instead
the Terminator.
They cast an unknown model. You know,
it's fine, but that wasn't the problem with that movie.
The second Terminator had the unknown guy, Robert Patrick or whatever, and I thought he was great because he was so just
he was perfect.
Yeah,
but he had like nothing going on with him, and you know,
To me, the movie, the biggest problem.
It's
the movie
hard.
Was,
it's hard to act that type. That role.
I but mean, the just, thing just, is, just if you guy, have to cast a woman Terminator, I think you know, personality is not the big selling factor on that role. You need someone who you believe in the physical aspects
yes.
of it.
And
I didn't believe her.
You're right. I thought she was okay. She wasn't the reason why that movie sucked. The reason why that movie sucked was all it was isn't one chase scene.
Yeah.
For 2 hours. And then some plot at the very end. I mean, there was no real good story to it.
I agree with that.
And there was kind of a lot of dumb in between. Just kind of like, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
You know what's weird? Arnold was in that one too, right? I barely remember him.
I barely remember him either.
I don't remember.
He was in it. I remember him fighting the woman Terminator.
He was in it, but he was so kind of old and a little weak after his heart attack.
He just looked.
So you know he's in the new movie.
Is he?
Yeah. He's been seen on the. There's photos of him on the set.
But it could be that
they just scan him in because I hear that he was in the special effects department.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think they're scanning. I think the first line of Terminator is supposed to look like him. So I believe they're doing special effects makeup on the actors playing those Terminator robots.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't in the timeline of that one, it's actually before?
Yes.
Yes. What I've heard is that over the course of the trilogy, you're going to see the Terminators evolve. So the very first models of Terminators you're going to see are going to be these very low-quality Terminators that look like people from a distance.
But are really heavy and go ka-chunk as they walk and you know, kind of mechanical. And they have a plastic skin. From up close, they look like a plastic mask.
So if we're seeing Arnold in this one, it's going to be a really... Like, he's going to be the new model or whatever that's going to come.
Like, he'll probably be at the end of the movie, I'm sure.
I gotcha.
Interesting.
All right. So, anyway, I thought the third movie was at least worth mentioning because of the ending I thought kind of changed it up a bit. So, the fourth movie is coming out. It takes place – we've talked about this before. It's kind of like during the war, and it's like the creation of John Connor as a hero. But what it does is it sets up the fact that – The future that you were supposed to have taken is now messed up.
Yeah.
You are now on a new course, and he needs to determine – he's got to decide what that course is going to be.
Time has been shifted off course, and he's got to figure out a way to shift it back on course.
But does that mean that his importance is lessened because now he may not be the leader, and so whether he lives or dies is not so important?
Maybe, but well, that suddenly makes it more interesting because if we know his course –
if he's destined to win – why watch it? You know, I guess.
Well, is it a winning or losing thing? Because I don't know the farthest in the future that we have ever seen in the canon, but it seems like they're just at war still.
But there's always been this idea that in the first movie that the humans have got them on the ropes.
Right.
And John Connor was the person who saved humanity.
And turned the tide.
He's the one that taught us how to fight back from inside the prison camps.
Right.
And so, And I love the analogy that they had in the Comic-Con thing where they said basically it's as if, you know, the future that you're supposed to have, you're holding in your hand and it slips from your hand and it's falling. And now you literally have to try and catch the future as it's falling again to get back on track. You have to catch a moving target.
But how are they going to know the pivotal events that are going to?
They don't. That's what's great about it. They don't.
But how do they know they're off track?
What do they know? What their objective is?
Unless someone from the past or future have told them. I'm curious how they kind of integrate all that into the story.
That's a good question.
It'll be fun to see. You know, but I'm also curious if the TV show is going to be part of the canon now, because in the TV show they've diverted storylines. Basically, the TV show diverts after the second movie and undoes the third one. Now, the Terminator they send back, I mean, I think you know this, is aware of the events of the third movie. That was her history. Mm-hmm. But when basically she drags them through a time jump
and jumps past the events
of the third movie,
effectively resetting
that awful history.
Yeah.
But also changing the future again. So according to the plot line of the second season, she's already said, no, we've changed things. I don't know what happens now.
What do you think the themes are growing in the spoiler alerts? What do you think those themes are that are going on in the series now? Because to me, the first season was completely directionless. It was like kind of a weak version of the themes of the second movie, which is let's just blow up the main corporate office of Skynet and we'll all be safe. It's just like
they
lame.
Had a cool theme with the new Terminator that Summer Glau plays, because they have this, mm-hmm. you know, she's a machine, but she's sort of becoming human.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because in the second season, if you've seen anything else, they've introduced... Spoiler alerts. They've really started to introduce the ideas of what is it to be a Terminator, and at what point do they become living, which they did...
And they start fleshing out how Terminators are made in the most recent episode.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, because honestly, and I will be upfront, I was wrong about what I was assuming. I was thinking what they were doing was they were imprinting personalities and memories onto the Terminator so they could effectively mimic. So I was assuming there was a basic human part somewhere in the Terminator, and that... You know, whatever her programming was, that human part was starting to come to the forefront.
Right? I haven't seen the very last one. I saw the one where they introduced this idea.
I was wrong.
Okay.
In the episode, I think that you've seen. I don't think I'm giving away anything away, but still, spoiler alert.
She's having.
It shows her in the future interrogating the girl she looks like.
The real human.
The real Summer Glau human character.
And so did they just model her features off?
They modeled her features.
Woman, or did they use her memories?
But here's the
they
problem.
Modeled her features, just and then she interrogated her.
And she steals the behavior based on how the person acts.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
So they have to learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she starts having memories. I mean, she's having memories of the human.
Yeah, but all the memories that she had, they were not very detailed. They were all very sketchy.
Okay.
And then in that episode, I actually really liked that episode.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
She first starts paralleling what she thinks the human would have been like, how the human would have reacted. But then as certain events click into place, she starts reacting as the Terminator would. And it was a nice little slide.
I like the fact that finally they've decided to start thinking out of the box. It took an entire season to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I don't like that direction. And,
okay.
And part of the reason is, you know, she, for example, that episode, she acts like a girl. She's like, I'm not like a little girl just because I remember my past. And then when she goes into Terminator mode, I act like a robot now. It's like, I just don't get, it seems like they're kind of destroying the whole Terminator concept in a way. It's like, can they act like a human or can't they?
Okay, this is something that's very interesting to me. Because you can see them turn it on sometimes, right? But none of the Terminators, no Terminator in any movie has ever tried to maintain a human personality for more than a few minutes. It's almost as though it's difficult. They know it's not going to work. So they just do it long enough to get close.
In the pilot, Summer acted like a high school student
for a few minutes. She said, hi, I'm in the same class as you. They sat down and then somebody opened fire on them.
But there was a Terminator, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the first season, who had a romantic relationship with a woman for quite some time. Had a wife.
Yes, you're right.
He was the wife of the woman that basically created the...
I thought that was weird, that story, because I just can't imagine a Terminator pulling that off.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
And what would the Terminator get out of that? Nothing.
So in this season, they actually have introduced another spoiler alert.
And does that mean the Terminator is fully functional? Because I had to,
They have introduced a new Terminator this season that is maintaining a human cover. Right.
Yeah.
But badly.
The worst
casting. This woman is terrible.
She's a rock star.
Yeah.
Is she?
She's the lead singer of Garbage.
She sucks.
She's terrible. It's the worst character ever invented.
She's really bad. I was kind of hoping that they just sub someone else in really quick. But anyway, one theory I had was that she was instructed by the future John Connor not to act too human to avoid confusion.
Here's the thing.
Like, we're all good
here's
news.
The thing that I thought they could have done, and they just to me they've gone off track. But in the end of the second movie, they actually addressed this.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end, he says to John, "By the way, I know why you cry now." Remember, that's the first moment ever that a Terminator became empathetic. Mm-hmm. It was like the beginning of something really important, because they were just robots. They've always been unemotional killing machines. Mm-hmm. They look human, they act human, but they are not. They are computers. And at the end of that second movie,
yeah,
he changes.
I think it's supposed to be clear
so that he spent so much time with the
human. He became a protector, and that became like a fatherly figure to him in a way, or role to him. And he says, "I now know why you cry, and I'm going to sacrifice myself, self-programming. I'm going against the programming that I'm told that I can't self-terminate, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in this liquid molten blah, blah, blah." That's interesting, and that was a great little seed. Now,
I'm just curious is this ground recovering with Battlestar Galactica right now?
Well, you know, Battlestar Galactica, that's the theme of the whole series, and that's right. Great.
Yep.
And in this one, I thought they could have teased that. Like, there was a moment that happened that if they had kept it that subtle, which I thought had been great, there's a moment in the series where the female Terminator kind of gets hit too hard, and so she goes back into her terminating program where she's, "I gotta kill John Connor, I'm a robot," and she goes after him. They trap her in a car, and they start smashing her, and just smashing her and smashing her, and she's dying. And for one moment, she turns up to John and says, "Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'm sorry. I won't do this again." And like for a brief second, she's human. And then they stop killing her, and she goes back into Terminator mode.
Oh, cool.
I went, okay, that was the best thing that's happened in this entire series, because it made me wonder. And now they just go overboard. Now it's like they couldn't be subtle. They couldn't leave that as a thing in the back of my head about like what really is behind her. Now they have to go into the big storyline, how they make her, and now she's acting like a human half the time, and she says "I love you" to him every once in a while.
The brilliance of it would have been, if they'd done it right, that they do what you just talked about, and then they left it alone for most of the season.
Exactly.
And made you start to think that she cares for him and that she's emotional, and then go and show that all this stuff came from someplace and that it's all false.
Exactly. Not two episodes later.
No.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I don't trust that they've ruined it yet. I just don't trust that. I believe... You know, right now, I think that I've seen real intelligence in the story writing so far. No, I mean, I'm not saying it's brilliant. I'm not saying it's Battlestar Galactica. No. But I'm saying I'm seeing real promise.
I've actually seen...
He was formulating a joke, and it didn't come out fast enough.
No, I was just letting you finish. You know, I mean, you see intelligence in a lot of things. It just means it's a lot of intelligence. You know?
No, valid. But even a small seed of intelligence can grow to a mighty oak of wisdom.
Okay.
Over the course of thousands of years.
I have to tell you, I have seen episodes that are coming up that are really good. And it's uneven. Right. It's like Battlestar. There's like a great one and a bad one, a great one, a bad one.
And I understand that.
I do.
There's a really good one coming.
I mean, one thing I definitely think is that Battlestar has sort of the luxury of being ruled by two masters, Sci-Fi and BBC. So they kind of get left alone. I mean, the two networks sort of cancel each other out.
Yeah.
This is a network show. You know, network is going to be mucking around at the fundamental level and saying, "No, you have to spill the beans because we want people to tune in next week. We need to sell Dodge Rams."
And they do have the threat of cancellation, so they have to know that this 13, they might have to wrap up
their
story.
Ratings have not been that great.
No. In fact, I heard that they may not even finish out airing episodes they've made.
They should air them. I can tell you one insider thing also. They shelved one of the episodes. Like, just shelved it.
Really?
It just didn't work out, and they kind of cannibalized it into the other episodes.
That's
so they're
fine.
One episode short.
Okay.
That's fine. But I don't know. I've been disappointed in that series big time. I think the characters have been pretty poorly portrayed and poorly written. And the first season, I thought, was a generic, drawn-out version of the second movie, which is just, let's just blow up Skynet. And that, to me...
Actually, I find that the TV show is closer to the third movie than the second movie. Maybe not in terms of...
I'm saying about plot and, like, their goal.
Yeah, in terms of plot, but in terms of execution, I just don't think that they... The second movie was really smart. and it asked really tough questions, and it really explored the hell out of them. Okay.
And the characters all made sense.
Yeah.
Like, they acted like the people that they were supposed to be portraying.
There were some interesting ideas for the TV show. And I think it's a great idea that he's teamed up with a female Terminator that's his age, that is attractive, that he might actually start to develop some feelings for.
That's fun.
Yeah. I think that that's interesting. But they just seem to kind of be – they don't seem to be committing to exploring really tough issues.
Well, and I'm going to disagree with Aaron on this one. I actually do think the characters are actually very nice. I don't think they have the depth yet. I think they're still casting around for direction, but the Sarah Connor character, the John Connor character, and the Terminator character, for me, are actually quite enjoyable. I've enjoyed watching their interactions together.
John Connor has gotten way better.
The guy from the future...
The fact that he cut his hair was big.
Well, that was a big... That was a big...
The guy from the future is actually not doing it for me yet.
He's terrible.
I just find him boring. I don't find him terrible. I just don't care.
Are you talking about Brian Austin Green?
Yeah.
But I don't even know if it's necessarily him as acting. Well, partly. Again, I brought this up before. Reese acted like he came from an abused home and abused life. He was a scrappy, like, he would eat garbage out of a garbage can. He would wear bum, piss-stained bum clothes, which he stole, because that's as good as it's going to get for him. Yeah. He
came from hell.
He came from hell. Yeah. He treated her like shit. Remember, he was dragging her around. He's like, listen, I don't need to like you. I need to save you.
Yeah.
And that he acted like he was an abused whore. He came from hell. This guy acts like he came from the mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like maybe he was trained and like maybe he went to the army and so he's kind of trained. But that's it. He doesn't act like he came from a future where like dogs are, you know, they're eating dogs or eating anything like bugs. You know what I mean?
But on top of that, I have to say Summer Glau so far has been my favorite Terminator yet.
Out of the Terminator series?
I think you're crazy.
You are crazy.
I think you're off.
Oh my God.
I find her much more interesting. I find...
You think the first Terminator movie would have been as good if she had played the role?
I'm not saying that she would have been right for that movie. I'm saying her character is much
very
more entertaining.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her character is far more entertaining.
I'm sorry. I have a hard... I can't go there.
I can't go there either.
You don't have to.
No, you've gone way into the dark side.
She's the heart and soul of the TV show.
She is.
Really.
I love her as an actress, and I love, you know, the fact that I think it's great that they've cast her, but you know, Arnold is hard.
And even the guy
Arnold
from Terminator
right
too,
for those other
awesome.
Movies.
Yeah, he was great.
Arnold was.
But
would you watch a show with Arnold in it
as a Terminator?
Yes. Hell yeah!
Oh my God! How boring would that be?
I don't think it would be boring at all.
It would be so boring. I'm going to stare at you blankly and say something flat.
In the second movie, his
emotion whatsoever.
Oh no!
Rah, rah, rah.
He's got a lot of spark. I think he was freaking awesome in those.
Yeah.
And the guy who played in Terminator 2, what's his name?
Robert Patrick.
He was awesome.
He's fantastic.
He was great.
He's fantastic. But those characters are not carry a series characters. They are
nice
not.
Bike. That line alone was awesome. That's a nice bike. All right. Anything else we want? Does anybody have any predictions of what the Terminator series? I think they kind of need to retire it.
It's a tough show. I mean, I feel like they could paint themselves into a corner so easily in terms of like now they're just sending back a million Terminators, million Rebels. If they were smart,
then what they would do is they would start to shake up the rules a little bit. Okay, I mean they would. Right now everything is just so static. You know, the Terminators that are coming back are good, and then you've got this one Terminator that's bad.
But they have the same mission. It's like
what would be interesting would be if some of the Terminators started to have their own agenda. You know, outside of what they were supposed to.
Well, we do already have a Terminator character in the series whose agenda we're assuming is bad.
Yeah, the main villain.
We're just assuming
villain,
that she's a bad guy.
The female villain who's like, who morphs into urinals.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
We don't know what her agenda is.
We're just assuming she's a bad guy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it would be, you know, they need to start exploring real issues. I mean, if the Terminators start having some sort of sentience beyond, you know, beyond being more or less, you know, you tell it what to do and it does it.
Yeah,
you know?
They're kind of getting to that with the series, but they really are
doing it
weekly.
The thing for me that would be, I would sort of like, mm-hmm. I'm not sold on it in my own mind, but I think I like the idea, is basically to have a third faction.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had a faction of Terminators that are kind of like heading towards their own agenda, they're not really working for Skynet, but they're not really.
How about a faction of humans that are
We need more Terminators necessarily, but I'm even if it's a group from now who has gotten a clue of what's coming but has a different take on it, mm-hmm. like maybe they're thinking they can ride the wave.
Ooh, what if it was the future Terminators, and now they were totally evolved into something else completely,
and they have to make something happen.
Or or maybe like they think of the current Terminators as their wayward, you know, origin.
And maybe they're children. More human than we are.
Well, imagine.
Or maybe they're cyborgs. Like they actually are the merging of the two societies.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, oh.
We should probably wrap things up.
Yes. Yeah.
Or start right. copywriting your idea.
Yeah.
By the way, I haven't explored a lot of the video games, although I do have a video game sitting over there of Terminator, and the comics, which I read a couple, but they're all kind of semi-lame.
I just bought a collection of them.
Oh, you
Terminator
did?
Omnibus. I'll loan it to you if you like.
Oh, okay.
They're older. They're older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I actually thought they were nice. They had some interesting stuff there that were dropped from the canon,
right?
Like, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. What about Terminator 3D? At Universal Studios. Is that canon?
I thought that was pretty fun, actually.
It's totally fun.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Me too.
It was great.
All righty. We should wrap this 2 hour and... No. 2 hour, 2 hour episode. Hour 40 minutes.
Thanks for stopping by and sharing some time with us.
Exactly. And our fireside chat about robots coming back
and killing us all.
And yes, we need to do a
good time.
We need to do a horror.
We need to do a horror themed episode.
Yeah,
yes. You know,
Halloween's
yes.
coming up.
We'll
so.
Look to release it near Halloween.
If you have any ideas about what we should cover, give us an email at geeks@geekson.com, or you can email Don, Aaron, Peter, or Matt at geekson.com. Perhaps we can wrestle up an email address for Lisa one of these days.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll have it forwarded to.
Honorary geek.
Yes, we will be hauling in Lisa more often in the future.
And go to our forums, too, because they're hopping.
They are awesome, and there are some great folks on there. We've just had a recent influx of new blood, too. So.
Yeah.
Glad to have you all aboard.
Yeah. Don't be intimidated coming in and start posting right away. Everyone loves the newbies on our forums, and we're always talking about something crazy and getting into arguments and flaming each other and
not so much on the flaming.
No, you're right. Yeah. But there's good. What's great is that they discuss things and they're good about going back and forth and then respecting each other's. Yeah. I think it's been pretty good. Our forums our forumites are awesome. So
and I disagree with you.
Yeah, that bunch of bastards.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Let's wrap it up. Bye, everybody. Have a good geek week.
Bye, geeks.
Geek it out.